Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hello! Thanks for joining me for episode 9 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. And the reason that I'm in such a good mood today is because I have come to realize that I love doing this show. I really do. I don't know why that's such a surprise to me. I guess I was really intimidated to do live radio and not be able to edit what I'm saying and go back and do retakes and all that, but I love it. I actually look forward to my Tuesday mornings now, and you guys have been so cool and supportive, and the feedback I get is really fun, so I'm happy to be here. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about love versus fear and how that comes into play with concepts like heaven and hell. It is my personal belief that there is no such thing as heaven or hell. Heaven or hell, just like God versus the devil, are, in my opinion, just my opinion, and you can disagree with me, but I believe they are creations of man made in order to better understand our own humanity and our experience of life here on Earth. And if this premise bothers you, you might want to just stop listening right now because it's one that I'm going to stick to for the length of this program. So anyway, I also contend that heaven and hell are really just alternate, more poetic interpretations of love and fear, and that we create these heavenly or hellish states within, right here, right now, as human beings on Earth. And we can create so much hell for ourselves that we wind up creating it for others around us as well. And alternately, we can live in such a state of heavenly bliss that the people around us can more easily enter into the kingdom of heaven, so to speak, as well. And we can also move from heaven to hell and back again many times throughout a single day. So that's an interesting thing to think about, and you might want to just kind of go back over your day, especially if you've had a particularly tough day, and think about it from that point of view, how many times you've actually traveled back and forth from heaven to hell and back again. And we can probably all agree that there are certain circumstances that are obvious versions of hell on Earth, like being in an abusive relationship, feeling stuck in a job that you hate, being trapped in addiction. But there are also more subtle versions of this hell that are easier to hide from yourself and from other people. Well, it's actually not as hard to hide from other people. Other people usually see our crap long before we do. But I don't know, these states of hell are like a chronically glass is half empty attitude. You know, you're a person that always sees kind of the negative side of things, or being constantly stuck up in your head, applying a critical eye to anything or anyone that crosses your path, including like your own reflection in the mirror. And some people really identify with and even define themselves by the particular brand of hell that they're living with, and they kind of like wear it like a badge of honor, and they'll tell anyone within earshot about how hard their life is, outlining in great detail like their every ache and pain. And I'm not trying to diminish anyone's aches and pains because I know that life can be hard for sure. And I'm not trying to make fun of anybody who is going through their own personal version of hell. I'm just trying to make a point. And some good books to read if you find that you're one of these people who is chronically seeing the glass as half empty, or even if you're just going through a hellish kind of slump and you're having a really hard time seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Three books that would be really good to check out would be Diary of a Young Girl by Anne Frank, Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, and I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings by Maya Angelou. These are all autobiographical, true stories of people who were dealt a truly hellish reality by no fault of their own and somehow managed to, by the strength of their own spirit, pull themselves up and out toward the light. And not all of these people made it out alive. And in the end, I guess none of us do anyways, but in the case of Anne Frank, she was able to transcend her circumstances by focusing on whatever beauty was still around her, sometimes in even the smallest of things, which really speaks to the power of focus. You get what you focus on. Focus is the vehicle that will take you where you want or don't want to go. Focus isn't personal, it's just a machine. If you focus on what you don't want, it will take you straight to hell. Luckily, it can also take you straight to heaven. Debbie Ford, who recently passed away, she was a great teacher and someone that I personally learned a lot from, and she had a book called The Right Questions that really echoes so much of what I'm talking about here. And in that book, she doesn't directly mention love versus fear or heaven and hell per se, but the idea is basically the same. And the subtitle for that book is 10 Essential Questions to Guide You to an Extraordinary Life. And those 10 questions really come in handy when you're working on redirecting your focus or trying to get out of hell and get yourself back into heaven, into that like state of being happy and in love. There are questions like, am I looking for what's right or am I looking for what's wrong? Is this an act of faith or an act of fear? Is this an act of self-love or an act of self-sabotage? And there are those two words again, love and fear. And it's my belief that there are only two emotional forces at play in the world, love versus fear. Which is good versus evil, God versus Satan, heaven versus hell. All other emotions fall into one of these two categories. And when you start examining feelings like sadness, shame, guilt, anger, you're really just looking at shades of gray, shades of fear. Same thing when you contemplate feelings of joy, gratitude, peace. Ecstasy. These are all aspects of love experienced to varying degrees of intensity and perhaps with a different tone or flavor, which is really wonderful when you consider the variety of ways that we get to experience love. And kind of a bummer when you consider the various ways that we experience fear. And even though there are all these different flavors or shades of gray within the emotional scale, when it comes to identifying feelings of love versus fear, it's actually pretty cut and dry. Love feels good, fear doesn't. It's really that simple. Fear is contracting, it creates the sensation of contraction, whereas love is expanding, it creates feelings of expansion. Fear is all about pulling in and shutting out. Love is all about opening up and letting in. I taped a little chart that I tore out of a magazine years ago. I don't even remember what magazine that was. It was probably Oprah, like, oh, her magazine. But anyway, I tore out this little chart and taped it to my nightstand so that it's the first thing I see when I roll over in bed every morning. And it's got the word fear at the top of a left-hand column and the word love at the top of a right-hand column. And then the words listed below fear and love are like this. It goes, fear always feels bad. Love always feels good. Fear motivates grasping. Love motivates liberation. Fear seizes control. Love relaxes control. Fear insists on certainty. Love accepts certainty, uncertainty. Fear needs everything. Love needs nothing. And I've had that little piece of paper taped up there for so long now, but I still lay there sometimes and look at it and think about how funny it is that I have to keep reminding myself all this spiritual stuff really is about practice. It's not like you hear it once and you're good, or at least it's not like that for me. I have to remind myself again and again and again. And if you're the kind of person who likes to give everything a magical context, you can do that too. And I've got some super secret, oh so incantations for conjuring up angels or demons, whichever you prefer. So, are you ready? Okay, you might want to write this down. Here it goes. The magic words for entering the kingdom of heaven. They are surrender, trust, allow, embrace, and forgive. And the magic words for passing through the fiery gates of hell, if you should, for some crazy reason, desire to do so, are control, resist, avoid, blame, and punish. And that's it. Alakadabra. Those are the magic words. It's all you need to know. And I kid, but really, it's no joke. It really, I don't even know how long I can keep this show going. Like, I'm only 11 minutes in, and I feel like I've actually, like, said it all. Love feels good, fear feels bad. But for some reason, I don't know why, we have a hard time implementing this idea into our life, and we can really get bogged down into the hell that we've either created for ourselves or that, you know, for whatever crazy reason we find ourselves experiencing. And it's not always your fault. I'm not a person, I'm not a practitioner of the law of attraction who believes that you create every horrible experience that comes your way. I'm open to the possibility that before we come to Earth, our soul selects certain lessons or picks the family we want to be born into. But I don't know. I don't make claims like that, and it kind of rubs me the wrong way when other people make claims like that, because I don't think any of us really know. I think there is just this beautiful mystery to life. And that's why we have all of these, you know, books and ideas and the different religions and stuff, because we're all just trying to figure this out. But if you just want to hone it down to basic love feels good and fear feels bad, you're not going to go too wrong. I don't think those things can steer you too wrong, and there's not a lot of like philosophy or ideology that you have to attach to just basic, does it feel good or does it feel bad? And that will get you to heaven or hell. And I don't normally get too biblical on these shows or ever really, but since for most of us, our original ideas about heaven and hell come from the Bible, I would just like to point out a few Bible verses that actually back up what I'm saying here, that heaven is an inside job. It's not some faraway land that you will, if you are super well behaved and you're practicing the correct religion, be sent to when you die. It's a state of being. And this is what I personally believe, that Jesus, whether he was a real person or not, I believe that this is the primary message of Jesus, and one that has been heavily distorted by the institutionalized church over the years. But in 1 John 4:18, the Bible says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." Kind of ironic that that's in the Bible that the church likes to use to instill so much fear in people. But still, if you look in the Bible, you can find little passages like that. Luke 7:21 says, "Neither will they say, 'Look here,' or 'Look there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And that is in the straight up Bible, Bible. That's not including all of the Gnostic texts that we found recently and that were omitted from the Bible. Marianne Williamson's book, A Return to Love, is basically the Cliff Notes for A Course in Miracles, which was supposedly channeled from Jesus himself. But A Return to Love is a really great book that, if you've ever tried to read A Course in Miracles, it's very dense. It's a lot like reading the Bible, and A Return to Love is just like Marianne Williamson's friendly, easy to comprehend for today's modern life version of A Course in Miracles. And there's a passage in Return to Love that illustrates how love comes into play with the law of attraction. Fear does too, because like attracts like, and what you are, you will create more of. But in this passage, she says, love makes you more attractive. That means you attract like a magnet. You don't just attract people, you attract various circumstances that reflect back to you the power of your devotion. So your love creates more love, loving people, loving experiences, and in a sense, heaven on earth. And really, in my opinion, the whole point of living a magical life or practicing the law of attraction is not to manifest things, but to manifest heaven on earth. It's about the feeling you get of being in love, just being in love with life. Abraham Hicks says, and ask and it is given. The basis of life is freedom, and the result of life is expansion. But the purpose of life is joy. And that is why the main event has never been the manifestation. It has always been the way you feel in the moment. So yes, manifesting nice things into your life feels good, but it is the feeling good, the being in love, that is the whole point. And ironically, the more you feel good, the more you manifest nice things into your life. The more you feel good, the more you manifest nice things into your life. And you can just keep that circle going. And some people are really good at that. Some of us have to work at it. Appreciation, which is another component of love, does this very well. Working with appreciation is a really good way to keep that circle flowing and to keep that heavenly feeling going. I mention ask and it is given a lot in the work of Abraham Hicks because even though it seems overly simplistic in the beginning, it's actually a profound teaching when you put its, you know, main principles into practice. And that's what's nice is that the second half of that book outlines a bunch of easy, super playful processes for getting yourself into the feeling state of love. And there's one called the Rampage of Appreciation, which is about, you know, creating a momentum of love and your very own heaven here on earth. And it's really, it's a lot like the power of keeping a gratitude journal, which I know many of you already know. And there's a reason these things are so popular. They work. One of my favorite things to do is to list things that I'm grateful for when I'm stuck in traffic. And if you've ever lived in or even visited Los Angeles, where I live, or any big city for that matter, you know that traffic can be hell. My son, I do this whether I'm alone or with my son, and I always do it out loud. So he often gets in on the act with me, which makes it, like, extra fun and hilarious because he basically just lists his favorite golf balls. He'll be like, thank you for Top Flight XL. Thank you for Titleist with the X's across the top. Thank you for Precept. Thank you for Spalding. And it's so funny, but he loves it, and he laughs, and that makes me laugh, and that gets us right out of hell. And I am going to wrap this up quickly today because I feel like I'm just sort of like beating a dead horse, you know, and giving you like a million different examples when it is basically just boils down to the most simple idea that if it feels good, it's love. It's heaven. If it feels bad, it's hell. It's fear. And you can move back and forth depending on where you place your focus. But before I go, I can't resist throwing something in here that might seem like it's coming out of left field, but it's important to me as it was absolutely key in my healing, and I know this is totally going to just throw you for a loop here, but that is food. Totally off topic, you know, from fear versus love, but I don't know, maybe you can imagine that it ties into this if you think about the way fear and love, the way we wrap that up in our diets and in the food that we make and the way that we make our food. Long after I learned how to forgive and had worked through all my childhood issues and learned all the best tips and techniques for managing anxiety and depression, you know, I was doing the Abraham Hicks stuff. I was practicing the law of attraction, and I did everything right. Everything that the psychologists say to do, I still had major inexplicable cycles of lethargy and irritability that were seemingly unrelated to any feelings that I had or anything that was going on in my life at the time. And I honestly have so much compassion now for my younger self looking back at that time because I really did try so hard. I would pray and pray and try to use positive thinking and repeating all my Louise Hay affirmations until I was blue in the face, practicing breathing techniques and everything I had learned from yoga to Anthony Robbins and Carl Jung, all to no avail. And it really did seem like these horrible, debilitating cycles were going to be with me for life, regardless. Until I found the work of Julia Ross, MD, which I did not put up in the resource list because it is a bit off topic. But when I found that book, The Mood Cure by Julia Ross, MD, and realized firsthand through experimentation how food was doing such a number on me, not to mention the people who had to live with me, I was able to finally stop the cycles of depression and anxiety and start living. Really living my life for the first time as an adult. So that launched me into this whole health obsession I'm still deeply involved with and sparked an interest in me that led to the work of people like Dr. Kate Shanahan, Dr. William Davis, and so many other awesome doctors and authors who are willing to go against the mainstream dogma to get to the truth, which is why I created Sad to Sexy. So that I could have a place to share everything that I have learned about the power of nutrition over the years, and hopefully spare other people from going through what I did. So if you feel like you've been on this whole psycho spiritual treadmill for years, and you understand fear versus love and the power of positive thinking and where you put your focus, and you still just seem to be going nowhere fast, that might be the key that finally unlocks the door to heaven for you. It did to me. And, you know, I'm sorry to diverge from the main topic, but it's important to me. And I feel like a lot of people can just, you know, drown in these new age spiritual ideas. And they're good people. They're people who are genuinely trying to make their lives better and make a difference in the world, and I hate to see them struggling around like that when I'm going like, ooh, I know the answer. It's food. You'd be amazed. So that's it. That's all I wanted to talk about today. Fear versus love with a side order of food. And I am going to Big Sur next week for my 5-year wedding anniversary, 11 years together with my husband, and we always go to Big Sur every year for our anniversary. So I will not be around to do the radio show, but I will be here the following Tuesday. I'm not sure what I'm going to talk about then, but Big Sur is very inspiring to me, so I am sure I will come up with something great for you all. And in the meantime, I hope you have a beautiful life and a beautiful day. Much love. Peace.